A long-term relationship in turmoil, that's fairly grim subject matter. What was the appeal of this sort of storyline for you?
For me, it was my wife and I had just, I think in the writing, if I think back, I think I started writing it right after we hit 20 years of being married and dealing with my oldest daughter getting ready to graduate from high school. And all of a sudden, this like different chapter in our lives was starting to kind of like present itself. And I started to be, you know, I ask questions. You know, it was interesting because I had met this director at AFI, and she had shared the story with me about how her husband had been learning to speak Thai for the last year prior to me meeting her. And he was going to go to Thailand for a year, and they didn't have any children. And they had been married for 25 years. And she was like, I'm a homebody. So if I go, like, I might ruin the trip. But if I don't go, what happens when we meet up a year from now? Because he's going to have this like massive life experience in Thailand for a whole year. That story she told me just like kind of embedded itself in the back of my mind and just kind of kept growing. And I would talk to my wife about like, what happens when all the kids are gone? I had researched that like the divorce rates are high in the first 2 years of marriage. And then the first year, the last child is out of the house. So normally people are in their 50s. And I would talk to her about it, and she was very not worried, and I was very worried. So that's kind of where the kernel of the writing, if I go back to the beginning for you.
That's fair enough. It seems like Nikki's the one that really wants to do the trip to Thailand, and David's the one that is staying at home.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I was very interested in the fact that David had really built a very good life for himself. You know, he picked a job that gives him access to his children or his children access to him whenever they needed because he works for himself. He really works in the region. It's not like he's a traveler going off to different places. So he's kept himself relatively close and very, very happy with kind of this life he's established, where Nikki is really, through this exploration of working for this law firm, is starting to learn like more about the world. And this real the growth and very much in the story, it's like what happens when people start to grow in different ways.
Now, you've created a very engaging and relatable story, and you seem like quite a level-headed guy. Where does the character of David come from, though? He's totally messed up.
It's obviously an more extreme version than people I know directly, but it was really born out of these super odd stories that I was hearing from friends and family about people who were in points of separation. And they were so very odd, you know, the pounding on their spouse's door at 3 a.m, being like, I know you have somebody in there, you know, and like screaming and yelling at them, even though they knew that the kids were in the rooms next door. Or, you know, one story I heard was so odd, which is a woman who told me as they were separated and no longer together, they needed to stay in the house together because they were still transitioning. And she was kind of like chased around the house by her separated husband, and he had a boner, and he was just like chasing her around, and he wasn't really trying to rape her or that he was trying to force himself on her. She was like, it was just weird, you know? And I was like, what's going on? She, I had no clue what was going on. I just got out of the car and left because that was so strange. And so it was these series of like very like odd stories from people who I consider very reasonable and very kind natured people in their day-to-day life. It was like something that was occurring in their lives that they had they were more vulnerable than they had ever anticipated. They were more scared than they had ever been anticipated, and they had no power to change anything. And that's the part that I thought was very interesting as well. I'm like, your spouse is leaving you. It's like, yeah, but I'm not okay with that. Like, I reject your choice to leave me. And it's like, well, that you don't really get to decide that. And it's like, but I am, you can't leave. And they're like, well, I am, you know? And so it's this very weird, you know, in marriage is full of compromise. I mean, I compromise every day. I mean, me and my wife just ran some errands and it was all compromise. And then all of a sudden you hit this head where your partner goes like, I'm out. And you're like, no, we make decisions together. And it's like, well, my decision is that I'm leaving and your decision is whatever you're going to decide, because I'm not deciding that anymore.
Now, the opening scene of the film is really, really intense. I found it like quite gut-wrenching, in fact. Now, were you worried that the audience might never regain any empathy for David after that scene? I mean, for example, in Australia, there's a lot of pushback on domestic violence and that at the moment. Did that worry you that you might not have anywhere to go with the character?
I was very worried. But that said, in filmmaking, or at least my feeling in filmmaking, is that risks should really be taken to try and tell specific stories, you know, is my hope anyways. And so it felt really, in the writing standpoint, it felt important to meet this character at the worst part of his life. I mean, it, as it relates to the film, it's the worst. I mean, it open up just with a horrible human being. And then we watch how he's struggling to navigate this, and we learn more about him, that these ideas are a lot more complicated. And I was interested in that approach, like, how can we meet a horrible person and then slowly start to understand how complicated it is? And I was aware that some people may never go along with them, and that's okay. They're not wrong and just like, I can't stand this human being, and I'm not going to have empathy for him at all. But I really feel like in the context, there's a lot of empathy built towards David for sure. But when we arrive at the end of the film, I don't know that that same empathy that we had earlier in the film exists at that ending. I think we start to think about the beginning of the film at the end.
Now, David and, as we find out later in the film, Derek are dealing with a lot of issues. There seems to be a lot of emotional immaturity and a bit of toxic masculinity on display. What has been the reaction of women to the film?
Very positive. You know, of course, there have been some women that are frustrated and don't care for the movie, but I knew that that would exist. But I felt that many of the women understood the complicated kind of aspects of the individual, right? Trying to juggle this. They also understood Nikki's point of view, which is this period of growth. And I found at least the comments that I received anyways were really like, this is complicated and marriage is complicated. And they looked at Derek and David in that light, as opposed to like that these individuals are just two douchebags, and I made a movie about two douchebags.
Oh, that's a bit harsh calling them douchebags. I didn't think they were quite that, but they definitely had some problems. Just watching the film, I thought it was interesting. I was thinking there could have been perhaps a second part of the film where we see the story from Nikki's point of view. Did you ever think about that?
I did. It's a thing when you're an actor, when you're a writer-director and an actor calls you up like Clayne and says, hey, I've got some money to put into a movie, and would you write a movie for me so we can make a film together? Well, you approach it from that standpoint when you're writing, because you're like, well, I know I have one person for 12 days. I don't know if I have anybody else, you know? And at the time of this writing, I didn't know that Seppi or Chris were going to be involved. We didn't know if we were going to only be able to afford local actors or if we were going to be able to cast people at such caliber. So in the writing context, I really had to write it thinking it and considering what the resources were that we had access to. You know, the old man is my father, or the dad, the kids, the three boys are mine. So it was like pulling our resources together. It would be very interesting to make a film from Nikki's perspective as well. I would love to do that. And again, if an actress was interested and we could pull the financing together in that way, I would happily write that, because it's another angle that's very complicated as well, which is, how do you deal with growth when you've kind of sacrificed the first part of your life or the earlier parts of your life to make sure your children were raised a way that you kind of believed in?
Now, the film is made in a very naturalistic way, and there are some very long takes. Was that mainly due to budgetary constraints that you might have had, or is that just the way that you like to make films?
I mean, the answer is both. We had 12 days, and so I knew we only had a limited amount of time, which means we don't get to do a lot of coverage. And I didn't want to do coverage just for the sake of coverage, because that really bothers me in a movie when you see a close-up that its only value is to allow for the editor to cut somewhere. And I wanted to be very direct. You know, the closest we get in the movie is during the date, and I didn't want to get closer some other point in the movie. So budgetary is one aspect, but the way in which I wanted to tell the story was the other. And as complicated as the story was, I just really, as I started to block the film, I had a hard time really understanding who the priority was. While David is definitely the main character, when Nikki and David are arguing, I didn't really see any value of cutting to one person for a little while and then cutting to the other, which is done more traditionally. I felt like in each of these kind of arguments, Nikki and David were working through this together and trying to figure out together. And the arguments that they were having, many of the things that Nikki says are very kind of, you know, did you stop by the boys at 2 a.m? Like, do you think that's a good idea? That's like very reasonable, you know? And then David responds very unreasonably. And then it starts this kind of back and forth of two people starting to become more and more unreasonable as the dialogue goes on. And I just really wanted them to be in the same frame. And in that scene in particular, what's behind them in the background is the house. I mean, they're arguing and in the middle of them is the home that they've created together. And I found that those shots were so much more compelling to me in the storytelling than it was to like start to get covered. So, I mean, Clay knows I like to do long takes anyways, but these are longer than I would traditionally do. But I talked with Sapita and Chris, and they both came from theatrical backgrounds and were more than excited about having that kind of opportunity. So it was really a mix of like how I wanted to tell the story and then them being very open to how we were going to tell it.
But in some shots, you've got multiple children in there as well. What direction did you give them? I suppose it helps that you're their dad, but what do you tell them to do?
Yeah, I mean, they're used to rehearsal. I mean, I rehearse with them pretty regularly. I did a short with them prior in preparation kind of for this film called The Miners, which the three of them are major characters in it. And they also did a collaborative film I did with Rodrigo Hedebeck called God Bless a Child. And so they've had experience acting before, and they have experience with the fact that we take very long takes. With God Bless a Child, for example, we shot handheld. And one of the things that they kind of learned in that was like, we're going to give you direction off screen. Please don't look at us. Please don't look at the camera. And please don't follow that action till 3 or 4 seconds after we give it. So if I said, hey, can you go over and get that basketball and like throw that basketball into the hoop? They would continue to do what they were doing. And then they would move in and grab that basketball and throw it in the hoop. So they had had some very serious experience with me and them working on these films. And so in the car scene, for example, when they're going to the park, they're very aware of two things, which is one, they know their lines, and two, they know they have to listen when those lines aren't happening. So if anybody misses their lines, they know that they're paying attention to what other people say so that they can comment or kind of riff kind of off of that. And so those kind of two elements really prepare them in these kind of longer scenes. You know, when I film, they'll just keep going until I tell them to stop.
One thing I noticed about the film was that it was always seemed to be very bleak and cold. Was it a deliberate choice to make the film in winter? Was that some sort of metaphor for the stage of Nikki and David's relationship?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was really important. I mean, winter itself was very important, but I also thought understanding that this is a season in their life, and winter felt like sometimes, I guess, in summer, when you're watching a movie in summer, you'd be like, oh, it's summertime, you know. But a lot of times, like with fall, unless there's like some direct kind of elements, winter is the one we're always so aware of. And the other ones, it just depends if it's part of the story element. But for me, it was really important because obviously it's a very cold and a very dark period in their lives. But my hope was that we always hope that winter will end. I mean, I know the snowboarders and skiers who live here in Utah argue against that, but most of us are very excited for summer and spring. And so it felt right that if we made this during winter, you would understand that like David is hoping that, you know, summer will come, a brighter part in their relationship will blossom as a result of getting through this. And so it felt really, really important on top of like other aspects like the rocket scene. For me, it was so critical to have this, like, watch this father attempting to be a father in such ridiculous and like circumstances. Nobody should be outside, you know, but he's like attempting to do something, you know.
I really loved the rocket scene. I thought that was beautiful. And it was just a shame when that third rocket didn't go off. I really wanted it to happen for him.
Yeah.
Where do you think, if you were looking to the future for Nikki and David's relationship, how do you think it would be going 5 years from now?
It's interesting. To be honest, I'm not exactly sure. You know, I try and be optimistic because I am such a, you know, I hope all of my friends that struggle through hard parts of their relationship kind of make it through. Sometimes divorce is, is the answer, and sometimes it's not the answer. I'm always trying with my friends to gauge what side I'm supposed to be rooting on or rooting for. But I hope that, you know, my real hope is that they figure a way to kind of work through it and to find a new relationship with each other. I mean, I think there's real value in growth. I think there's real value. I mean, in my own marriage, when I was writing this film, it was interesting to look back and be able to see the different chapters in our relationship where I'm like, yeah, I think we're this, in my brain, I'm like, yeah, we're just like we were when we were, you know, I was 21, she was 20. And then I look now and I'm like, we're not the same. We're different. Our relationship is different now. So hopefully, you know, there's a fruitful chapter.
Again, I just felt like that the movie of it obviously was like the middle part of a three-part film.
You know, to be honest, if somebody offered me the opportunity in 5 or 6 years from now to revisit this environment, these Nikki and David and these people, I would love it because it would be very interesting to explore the complicated nature of like, did they work through it? How did they work through it? You know, one of the kernels of this story was a couple that I had met out in Iowa in this town of about 80 people. And they were great and they were very kind to one another. And I was like, man, you guys have such a great marriage. And they actually shared that they had planned to get divorced and everything was a go, but they realized quickly they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford two separate households. They couldn't afford the financing, the food. And as a result, they had to work through it. And I was meeting them when they were, you know, 5, 6 years into working through it. And it was very interesting to watch how they had learned to navigate a relationship of mutual respect and love for one another. But after they had told me that, as an observer, you could see that it wasn't as naive as when you first get married. It was more thoughtful. There was an awareness to each other in a way that meant to me that they must have shared, like, I hate it when you leave your dishes in the kitchen or in the living room, or I hate it when you ask me to, you know, go outside when you hear a sound. I don't know the details. But there had what I witnessed was a different type of marriage that was really entrenched in mutual respect. And it would be neat to explore that at 6 years, 6, 7 years from now.